Today it's sideways, but we are in a sermon series in 1 Corinthians. So if you have a Bible, you can take it and go to date. You can go to the chapter 13, and today we'll do a whole chapter. We'll do chapter 13. But before we do 13, we just have to look at how 12 ended, because as some of you know, the chapters and verses are added way later into these letters. And so Paul is, that's not the thing I have to open. Paul is in the middle of a conversation in his letter with the people of Corinth. And he had he had listed out how order in the church is supposed to be. He's listed out people have, as Jonathan said, people have different gifts for the common good, for the building up of the church. And he had mentioned these different things. And then at the end of last week, he says, and I will show you a more excellent way. And so he was going to say, like, okay, you have these gifts to encourage one another. You have all these things that God has given. And now I'm going to show you a way that's even more excellent. And then Paul enters into chapter 13, which some of you maybe know parts of it by heart. Some of you are like very encouraged by this. A lot of times it's used in weddings, but it has actually not, you cannot use it at your wedding, but that's actually not the context of how he uses it. He uses it between believers. This is the love that he calls for us to have for one another. So that's kind of what he is doing. So let's read, and then we will see what the Lord has for us in the rest of the text. Maybe I should actually, we have a few new... Oh, sorry. If you need the sermon notes, you can scan this code and then they will come up. They're not very good today. I apologize. They could be better. I'm just saying it from the start so you don't get your hopes to go too high. I've just waited. So Corinth is a big place, it's a big city for this time, capital in Achaia, have a lot of different religions and all sorts of things. It's situated between Athens and Sparta, so it's had a ancient history, got destroyed, rebuilt. If you like history and you like the authenticity and dates of the Bible, this Corinthians show quite closely with Acts and Corinthians shows very, accurately when the letters and when the church is established. You can see in 51, and then Paul writes this letter in 54 or 55. It is situated in the green part that we zoom in. That's Corinth. Lee and I were there one time on a field trip. And Lee would say, I only remember the long bus ride. It was very interesting, but it was a long bus ride. All right, let's read together chapter 13. I'm just going to do like half of the previous one. And I'll show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of the angels, but have no love, I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be buried, but has not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice with wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I was very tempted to go to 1 John and explain what love is, but we have kind of done that through the songs. But if you don't know, well, just short. The definition of love in the Bible is very different than a way of the world's definition of love. We'll get into that later as well. But God defines love as, we have not loved God first, but He has loved us first by sending His Son, Christ Jesus, that He might be the propitiation for our sins, that He might die for our sins. That is love. As I will go into later, love is not a feeling. Love is always action. But I was getting ahead of myself. But this is also what Paul is talking about, because as he has, he loves these people. I've said it so many times. He loves these people, but he's maybe a little concerned about how much they love each other. Or at least he's encouraging them to take an inventory and say, when you use your gifts and when you relate to each other in the church, what are you doing and why are you doing it? He's going to go through a list of these different things. And he starts the list with, okay, if you use these gifts, if you speak in tongues, even if you have prophetic powers, but you don't love people, you are like this sound. Which is really annoying and not helpful to anyone. So he's saying, like, if it doesn't matter if you have, like, amazing gifts, if you use them without the love that you have experienced from Christ so that you build up others, it doesn't work. And he goes on and makes it even more. You can say, talked about how people were praying for people and they were getting better. But he says, like, if we do that and don't love those people with the love of Christ, it doesn't matter. He even goes to the example of Jesus saying that, he said, if you just had a little faith, you could move that mountain. And he said, even if you could move a mountain and have that great of faith, you would still be nothing if you did not have love. If you in Corinth or us today, and we see this, some people do this, some very rich people in the world do this, and I still feel weird, and that it's not a good, not that it's not a good thing, but you see some people giving everything away, they sacrifice everything, they But they do it for themselves. Paul says, even if you give everything you have and your body to science, but you don't love God and people, it doesn't matter. Then he goes into, well, what does love look like? And I wrote, as you can see, these things are not, they're not only something you feel. Those are things that follow with actions. I'm not going into the whole Greek thing, but there are different words for love. And this is not a sexual love. This is love between people, not a man and a woman. So it's God's love for the world that we just talked about. Now, but Paul is assuming, as he has told them, that they know what Christ has done for them. And then he encourages them, okay, when you want to build each other up with the gifts you have, when you mistakenly make fractions or think you're better than, are you really loving the other people? When you think someone is extremely annoying or frustrating, is that what love looks like? Now, I think what Paul is asking them there to do is not possible if we don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, he is also under the impression and this assumption they all have the Holy Spirit, so they will be able to do this when they're controlled by the Holy Spirit. But I think this is a very sobering chapter, also for me. What do I do when I don't feel love for you guys? What do you do when you don't feel love for me? Do we say, I have fallen out of love with you? Well, love is not something you fall into or out of, because it is an action. I was thinking when, now just, I'm off script. I was thinking as Kylene was talking about her being thankful for Sadie, I was thinking about, and you now you can do this exercise with me. You can do this exercise with me. Think about the people you love the most. They are highly likely the one you have done the most for. They're the ones that you have spent a lot of time showing that you love them. Not just saying it, but your actions have shown it. I think the mistake culture makes is like they take a different thing and say, well, love is some only a feeling that you can fall in and out of, and it might be a fat angel with wings that shoots you in the arrow and you can't do anything about it. What? I fell in love and I had to be immoral, and or I have to, now I'm not with my wife anymore because I got shot in my behind by an arrow, so now I have to act on that. That's silly. Honestly, it's silly. I think often it's just used as an excuse. No, love is an action. it is not an accident. When we feel loved or other things, it's often because somebody does an action as well. Paul addresses this to the church because they seem they have forgotten this. They seem like they've experienced Jesus and his love. They're just not exactly sure how that's supposed to look like when they're supposed to love one another. So he gives them this kind of list, and he goes through it. And as we go through it too, I think it's a very, I think it's challenging for me. I'm going to preach this sermon for me as well. Because I think for me, it's a lot easier to do things out of duty and like, okay, I got to do this because God, I think God wants me to do this. But all of this says that it doesn't matter if I don't love the people. Just shortly about me, it does not come easy to me to love people at all. I think it's really difficult and hard. But sometimes it happens. Then I know the Holy Spirit is at work. And a love for people that makes no sense comes in. A lot of times those grow when our actions are ones of love for one another. I've seen it many times. I've seen how you guys love one another. I've also seen how you have loved my kids and my wife. I'm really grateful and thankful for that. Some of us might have a harder time showing this, and maybe should be encouraged to show and do things that show this. Now, all these things and these actions we do are all bound up in who God is and his nature. So when we see the when we see the list, we can see a lot of who God is in them. You can say even when Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it's some of the same things. We can see if you go through chapter 4, love is patient and kind. Who have you shown? So Paul is asking them, when you interact with one another, are you patient and kind to one another? If you are not actually showing love to one another. Now, I was reminding it, well, God is patient. The Old Testament says that God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God is very patient with me and with you, and still is through Jesus when we still sin and mess up. God is patient. God is asking us to be patient with one another. Not just so patient, but also kind. God showed us kindness once and again. God does not treat us as enemies, but as someone to seek out and love. Love does not envy or boast. He also says that to the Corinthians, when you envy each other's gifts, that is not love. When you envy the rich, or you envy the poor, or you envy the guy who has more horses or a better status, that is not good, and it is not love. It is also not love when you boast about your achievements or boast about whatever. Those things do not consist of love. Those are also actions we should try to avoid. It is not arrogant. So arrogant is, I think, is very interesting because it's also an action. It's those boasting and envy is also actions. So maybe people say, well, also feelings. Well, they come out as actions, right? So same thing with arrogance. Well, if we are arrogant to everyone else in the fellowship, that would be also an action and seen. And it also it also convey that somehow that the other people are not worthy of the love that you've been loved with, or we've been loved with. And same thing for them, is that the people are arrogant in the church and are very wise to say, in their own eyes, to say, well, then you still misunderstood if you act in that way. It shows you have not understood what true love is because you've misunderstood what Christ did. Or is rude. It's interesting that being rude is also the opposite of love. This one is hard, I think. Does not insist on his own way. I like things on my way. Oh, sorry. I was like, something burning behind me. Thank you. I'm not saying everybody has to do it my way. It's just a lot easier if everybody does it my way. Because then I understand what's happening. I can grow a lot here. I think this is also a growing point. I don't know about you, but understanding how other people work is also something of love. Now then, if somebody doesn't get it their own way, it's easy to get irritable or resentful. I can too easily get that way. Love does not rejoice with what is wrong and things that are wrong. I think I wrote in my notes that I remember in the Old Testament that even when this is, come on in. I was reminded about this passage. For us as believers, and we have understand the love of Christ. It's not the option to do bad, so that we will get good results. Like the end does not justify the means. As believers in Christ, the way we act is the means. Good catch. So we cannot rejoice in things that are being wrongly done. But instead, we rejoice when truth is revealed because we believe that Christ is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. So truth is always good. And it's always good when truth is shown. The next passage, I think, is very, very very beautiful. Love bears all things. Looking at God and how He creates all things, and looking at how God chooses to save people, we see that Christ bears all things. He bears all the sins of whoever will come to believe. The patience, the kindness, that was a quote from that book, that Jesus is not just with us, He carries it. And so Jesus carries all the things, all the sins, all the things that the believers go through. Now, we are not capable of that. But he does say to the Corinthians and to our fellowship that we bear with one another. We also can help carry one another. That the opposite of getting annoyed and resentful is to understand and love and bear things with one another. Believes the best in one another. Hopes all things and endures all things. So we see that God endures a lot of things. And in Christ, we see that he endured a lot of things. So that we see that when Paul is calling the Corinthians and us to love, we need to know the love of Christ. Or else there's no way we can love one another like this. Because we have to understand that we've been loved like this first. That we then can, with our actions, as we go, love one another. We can be patient with one another. We can rejoice with one another. We can bear things with one another. We can hope things with one another. We can endure with one another. Then it says that love does not end. Now he will, in some sense, actually, he's not going to say that the gifts don't matter. He's just going to put the gifts in the right place. Because at some point, all the gifts are going to stop. He says that prophecies will stop. The tongues will cease. The words of knowledge will cease. Because right now we're prophesying because everything is not totally revealed. But when we are face to face with Christ, all things will be revealed. We won't need tongues, prophecies, words of knowledge. We won't need healing. Because all of those things, Christ will make all things new. And so he encourages them to look to what Christ has done for them. And then, by the Holy Spirit, love one another instead of dividing. He also gives them a vision of your gifts are not the most important thing. They are showing that we're still lacking and we're not fully with Christ. So use them for the common good and use them how Christ has loved you. Use them like that. This is the better way, the way of loving one another as Christ has loved you. So, where are we then now? Well, then we're in the middle of this section where where we're getting from Paul, this is all the things you should do, and this is all the things you should not do. Well, what if the list of all the things I should have done is really long, and all the things I should do is very short? Well, it's kind of like a, what do you call it? It's kind of like a checklist of where am I? Where is my relationship with Christ? Where is my relationship with the people around me? Because I would doubt that our relationship with Christ is like amazing, and we just really understand the love of Christ. If our list of all the things we should not be doing is very long, and the list of what we should be doing to show we love one another is very short. So you can actually be like an inventory of, well, what does my relationship with Christ look like at the moment? And I was like, oh, I have a horrible tendency to get extremely irritable and resentful very fast. And what does that say about my relationship with Christ? What does that say about me understanding the love of Christ for me? Have I then brushed that aside and I'm not walking in that? When we get to these passages, I don't believe is there to like bang us over the head with like, you're not doing good, you're not good enough. I think the passages there are there exactly for the same reason as what Paul is trying to do. He's trying to show them that there's a way better way, and that way is founded on Jesus Christ. It's founded on the one who bore all things, endured all things, so that we could be reconciled to God. And Paul is pointing the fellowship back to that and say, well, this is why you are together. Remember that. Remember how much Christ has done. Remember that these things of love is not even possible in your own strength, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit who can give you that love for one another. It also gives the list of all things we shouldn't do. So what do we do when we do it anyway? It's like, ah, well, the call is the same. These two lists is not like, if you do this, then you are righteous with God, and if you don't do this, then you are doomed. No, it's lists to draw us back to Christ. And so when we fail, we recognize we fail, and we say, okay, God, I can see I have not believed the love you have for me. I ask that, I plead your love and mercy for me again. I pray you forgive me of this and help me to live out this love for you and for the other people. So it's a place where we reach these passages where we look at the lists and be like, okay, what does that mean for me? Where is it that I believe and understand the love of God for me in Christ? Does it come out in my actions? Do I love the people that's around me? Is a very good, x-ray. Do I love the people in the fellowship? Do I care for them? And do my actions show that? So I believe he encourages them and us to be like, okay, we know they had their issues. We might have our issues. But he points to Jesus and say, okay, as I told you back in Corinth, God loved the world and he sent his son Jesus. Jesus came, he humbled himself to be born into this world that was created for him and through him. He lived a life, humble life, did all the things that God told him to do, including glorifying God and making a way for us to be reconciled to him by his death on the cross. That if we believe in him, we can have our sins forgiven, we can be adopted into God's family, and we can become become a part of Christ's body. Christ did not stay dead, he rose again after 3 days that he said. And we have this hope that we will rise again because he did. And as Paul's also saying here, Christ is going to come back. And when Christ comes back, there's no need of the gifts because we will fully know. As God fully knows every part of us, we will fully understand who Jesus is and what he has done for us. That's a hope, that's a strength. And this is where what should carry us. Not, again, it's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's a call to come to Christ. It's a call to understand more about who he is. That we would know more each day who he is. And that our actions will reflect that. We have the promise that when we fail, we can also ask him, hey, help us, forgive us. And he encourages them that no matter what gift you have, if you don't use it because Christ has loved you for the good of the others, it doesn't matter if you use it. Instead, use it with the love that you are loved with. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look to this passage, I thank you for it. I thank you that, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for Paul writing this. Thank you for reminding us today of who you are and what you've done. Thank you for, challenging me. Thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for, challenging all of us to see like where is my relationship with God? What does my actions look like? Are they more motivated by selfish interests, or are they more motivated by a love for you and for the people you have set us among? Lord, I pray again and again, I pray for all of us that we would understand more each day how much and how important it is what you've done, Jesus. I pray that it was going to be our joy, our rock, our strength to know we did not love you first, but you loved us first, God, and send Jesus to be the one who died for our sins, that we can become your righteousness. So we ask you grow that in all of us. And I pray you grow our fellowship and in love for you, Jesus, that people would know, because we love one another, that you are alive and well and all of what you've done. Lord, it's you that can do it, so we ask that you would do that in and through us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As it is my custom, I forgot to slide. In the absence of love, then ministry means that I'm changed for the worse. I become hollow. I'm nothing. I've gained nothing. For all my efforts sharpens the motivations for ministry. Love must not be absent. So in other ways, it doesn't matter who we serve or what we serve. If the love of God is not in us, it doesn't matter. But it does make a big difference when we keep love as Christ has loved us. And so we will take some time to celebrate Jesus' body broken and his shed blood as we do weekly here. With us, we acting out our belief in this love I've just talked about. And we do that by, Paul has instructed the church and corrected the church a few chapters before, because they were mocking one another when they were having dinner together and there was nothing left. And he said, this is not the way you're supposed to act towards one another when you're sharing and remembering who Christ is. So Paul wrote to him and says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So it's a meal where we're celebrating the love, how God loved the world, that he sent his son, that his body might be broken, his blood might be shed, that we can be saved, and we can, instead of being sin, become his righteousness. I always pray that this is not just a ritual, but it is actually what Paul calls it too. And it falls pretty well out of this passage that it's an examination meal. How is my relationship with God, and how is my relationship with the other people in the fellowship? Paul said people were sick and dying because they weren't caring about each other and this meal. So it's a time to just reflect and think, okay, what does my relationship look like with God and my fellow believers? This is the only part of the service kind of that we say that we really do believe you should be a believer to participate, because how can you remember something and recall something if you don't believe it? You can be a visitor from a different church, but if you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you're welcome to participate. If not, then take this time to pray and let that Jesus will reveal himself to you, and then at the next moment you can come and celebrate with us. Practical part is here that when you're ready, you can come up, take a piece of bread, and then dip it into the cup. And so I'm just going to move this to the side, and I'll get those things. I'll pray. And then when you're ready, you can come and participate.